for some reason, the from our days in Arizona, the first meetings of the church that we were planting there came to my mind. We had one meeting, which was kind of an organizational meeting, I guess, if a church plant can be organized, I don't know, but we had one of those meetings, and there were those of us who were already on the team. There's like maybe four of us or something. And then there was some other people. And all the other people came to see how you do this. They weren't actually interested in joining the church plant. They was, we're kind of interested in how you do this. So that was fine. And we had a fine meeting anyway, and it went along well. And then we had a kind of our first worship service. I mean, it didn't kick off weekly worship, but we had this worship service. It was around Easter time. It was out in one of the parks there in Arizona. You know, in a lot of cities in Arizona, there's a park within walking distance of every house, city park. Why they do that, I don't know. It's too hot most of the year to walk anywhere for any reason, but there they are. So we were out in this one park, and I think it was 50 people showed up, and I could report that to the bishop, and the bishop was very impressed. However, it was the same thing. We had the team, at that time maybe 8 of us or something, and the rest of them were people who came, we just want to see how you do this, how this works. What do you do? We're not interested in joining. Now, some of them went back to their own churches they hadn't been going to for quite some time, and I was glad for that. But we really didn't pick up any interested people in what we were doing with those events. And there were other events like that too, which I could go on and describe, but not today. We were trying to be happy, you know, instead of depressed about the way things are. But as I was considering this and looking back on this, there was something that occurred to me, in that a lot of those people who came to see how it was going on were still interested. They still kept their interest up. And sometimes they'd introduce us to other people who did become involved. And it occurred to me, one of the things they liked about us was that we had decided to follow Jesus and do this. That we were people who were praying, who were wanting to do something new, and we felt the Lord had asked us to do that. And that's why we kept going. And we didn't know they were thinking that, but we kept going because we felt that's what the Lord wanted us to do, and we wanted to follow after Him. And it's just looking back, I'm seeing, now that's what some people liked. It was that particular dynamic. And so we kept offering to God everything that we had so that He could do whatever He wanted to do. And we went for 8 years before we decided to close it down and move on. And Carol and I came to Virginia, and you know the rest. But there's a dynamic there that's always true. And it's true for you, too. You probably have friends who don't go to church, who don't believe, or they believe something else, but they're still your friends. And one of the things about your friendship is that they like that you are a Christian. They like that you pray. They like that you are somebody who worships, who believes, that has a spirituality. And maybe they don't want it. Maybe they're not attracted to it. Or maybe there's something else going on. Or there's some wall that they have to get past to experience what you experience. But they like that about you. And as you keep offering your heart and your life to God so that your own growth in Christ would continue, your spirituality would deepen, and everything about following Jesus gets richer and richer. What you're doing is offering the very thing that people find attractive about the Christian faith. And that is you following Jesus and the way that it transforms you. Now, that's something that we see today with the Magi as they visited Jesus and what they did there. There was something that they offered which was very precious and very real and very important to them as they came upon however old Jesus was at the time, to offer him gifts. And that's what can happen. That's what can happen with us. Now, I mean, we just heard the story. You know, there's wise men from the east, and they see the star. They're probably from a tribe that's astrologers. And in fact, today, they're, and of course, they're not Jewish. They're probably Arabic of some kind. And today, in that part of the world, there's actually an Arabic tribe. If you were to translate their name from Arabic into English, it would be translated as planet watchers. So they probably came from that group, or the ancestors of that group, or whatever it may be. And there they are, and they go to Herod, and Herod says, "Wow, this is great. I want to worship this Jesus King too." And of course he doesn't, as you know, he wants to kill Jesus. So he says, You go find him, come back and tell me where he is so that I can go worship him." And we all know that that's not the case. And even if the wise men hadn't figured that out, they still were warned in a dream. You know, one of those dreams again. You know, just go home, don't go see Herod, and you'll be doing a good thing if you do that. Now, one of the things that the wise men did when they were there, and this is what I want to center on, and it's part of the thing that we did in Arizona, and we do all the time, is what we offer to Jesus, and that's what we treasure the most. And you'll notice in the second to last sentence in the gospel today, you know, there they were, they entered the house, and there is Mary and Jesus. I suppose Joseph is around too, but who knows? he's nearby, that's for sure. And it says, then opening their treasure chests. And they didn't get off whatever they were riding and say, "Boy, it's hot out here," or "I'm glad I made it. It's good to see you." Yeah, they, as soon as they got there, they knelt down and they opened their treasure chests. And in their treasure chests, you know, are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this gold, frankincense, and myrrh are very expensive, very difficult to get, and they carried it all this way, and they didn't hold on to it. They didn't use it for travel expenses. They didn't do anything else with it. They gave it to Jesus. They gave the most treasured item that they had to Jesus. And that's why it was in their treasure chests. Now, that, I think, is the dynamic that would begin to mark our lives more intentionally. We're thinking about what it is that we give to Jesus. And what we do is we open our treasure chests. Almost every day we open our treasure chests to give to Jesus the treasure that is there, just as the wise men did. So the question comes up, what exactly is the treasure in your treasure chest? And for each of us, it might be different. You might have something in your treasure chest that's different from what's in my treasure chest. And yet the overall practice is to open your treasure chest and offer that to Jesus as an act of worship, as part of worshiping him. So what are some examples that we can make this concrete and see how that works? Well, let's say in your treasure chest is your house. And so you open your treasure chest and you want to give your house to Jesus. Well, I'm not sure that that means that you sell it and give away the money, or you get somebody else to live in it, you just give it to them, whatever it is. Maybe it's how you deal with the homeless problem. I don't think it's that at all. I mean, I suppose it could be that, and there's probably people who've done that. But nonetheless, I think there's something else that goes on. You open your treasure chest. You say, "God, I thank you for my house. And I want your kingdom come and your will to be done. And I recognize that this house is your house. And so would you guide my steps and my thinking so that this house can be used to expand your kingdom for your glory? That's opening your treasure chest. Now, many of us already do something like that. We're very far along that path. We have different things happening in our house that we feel God has asked us to do. And you may not have the same idea about how to use your house for the kingdom of God, which is fine, because what you want is God to give you the idea of how to use your house for his kingdom. Now, you might have something else in your treasure box that you would offer to him. You might have, let's say, some relationships in there that are very dear and important to you. So you would open your treasure box and you would come before God and you would say, these are people that I love. And I offer these relationships to you, because you have brought them about. You have had our paths cross and our lives be intertwined. And I want to offer them to you this way, because I believe that's how you want me to do it. Let me be in this relationship the best representative of you that I can be. Let me be in this relationship the best servant of these other people as I can be. Let me be the one who shows these others what it is like to be like you. That would be offering that treasure to Jesus. Okay, are you getting the picture? How this works? It just takes it a little deeper. It takes it further. And you can do that every day. Opening your treasure box, not your extras box, but your treasure box. Let me give you one more example. You might be afraid of something, and you're holding onto that fear as if it were a valuable treasure. You just don't want to let it go. Maybe there's a way that fear actually helps you so that you don't have to do something that you'd rather not do. Or whatever the reason may be that you've got this fear and it keeps holding, you keep holding on to it and you don't want to let it go. Anybody have any thoughts about what their fear is that they're holding on to? So you open your treasure box. And you say, Lord, I've held on to this fear for I don't know how long, but I know you do. And I want to offer it up as an act of worship. And I want it especially to show this, that your perfect love casts out all fear. And I'd rather follow you in your perfect love than have this fear be a wall around me. That would be a way for that to go. Now, maybe you deal with your fears in a much different way. I mean, that's just an example. But that's how that can go. That's what it is. These three examples, and maybe many others that you're thinking of right now, is a way that you open up your treasure box and you offer to Jesus what is there because it belongs to him. You know, your house belongs to him. Your relationships belong to him. Your fears belong to him. Everything about your life belongs to him. And you offer it to him. And what he does is he transforms that and helps it to become what he created it to be. And as that happens, he helps you become what he created you to be. Because when you're holding on to these things, it's holding on to too much. And there's no room for us to grow and to be transformed and become like him. But we let them go and offer to him as the treasure that they are to us so that they're his. Then we have the infinite space of the love of God to become what he desires for us to become. Now, there's there's two ways that you could look at this, and both of them are important, and we, from time to time, we have to do both of them. There can be quite a large item in your life, you know, like the ones I've been using in these examples. And maybe this morning, before you come to the table, or even right now at this moment, you want to let that go and give that to God as the treasure of your life. And that's a huge sacrifice, you might say, a huge offering to Him. And then there's also the daily things, the smaller things, the things that maybe don't seem as inconsequential, but if you keep holding on to them, they pile up before too long, and there's all this clutter in your soul because you're holding on to those like they're treasure. So you just let those go as well. I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do it this way. Ask the Lord, what is the treasure that you desire me to give you today? And then take that step. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way that you pursue us and desire for us to be like you. And so this morning, right now, at this moment, we offer to you the treasure of our lives. We ask that that which we hold on to, which we need to let go, we would let go. We ask that you would allow us to see the various things in our lives that are becoming more like you. The things that other people like about you that they see through us. We ask that even now, we would release them to you and then receive all that you have for us, all for the glory of your name. Amen.